and thank you for joining us for today's West Texas Town Hall. I'm Texas Tech Public Media's senior reporter, Sarah Self-Walbrick. According to the most recent state data, over 27,000 people in Lubbock have received their first dose of either the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine. It's a great start, but we still have a long way to go. And a lot of people still have some questions about how the vaccine actually works. So my guest today is Dr. Stephen Burke, who is the Dean of the School of Medicine and Executive Vice President of Clinical Affairs at the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. One of Dr. Burke's specialties is infectious disease. He's here to talk with us about the COVID-19 vaccines that are currently being distributed across the country. You can send us your questions about the COVID-19 vaccine by commenting on this Facebook video or by using the hashtag WTXTownHall. We'll answer as many as we can. Dr. Burke, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
Of course. So let's get started. I want to start by addressing the misinformation and disinformation that's out there about the COVID vaccines. What are some of the incorrect theories you've heard, and why are they wrong?
Well, I think what you might consider misinformation is just the issue that this was done so fast that the vaccine came to the public so quickly that there must be some problem. And so the first thing to say about that is that this is a very well-studied vaccine. It is true that this is the first messenger RNA vaccine, but that technology has been going on for years. There's been millions of dollars invested in it, hundreds of investigators that have developed this issue of how a messenger RNA vaccine could work. And then once the vaccine did come into play very quickly, and we were able to do that, or investigators were able to do that, because they understood this virus so well. They understood all its building blocks, so they could make this message, this messenger RNA, quickly. And then it went into clinical trials, and 40,000 people got the vaccine, and we were quickly able to look at the data and see that it was tremendously effective, affecting protection for 95% of people. Of course, what might be considered misinformation is the issue of the potential danger of the vaccine. And of course, everyone is going to be worried about that. But this is a safe vaccine. Now millions of people have gotten it. But even when it first came out, 40,000 people received the vaccine in trials. And there were side effects, but they were very unimportant, non-long-lasting side effects, fever, muscle pain. So I think those are the two biggest misconceptions. This was a carefully developed vaccine, and that it's definitely safe and effective.
Absolutely. So that was my next question. You kind of touched on this a little bit. Scientists have been working on similar mRNA serums for years. So talk to us a little bit more about how these vaccines currently available were developed.
Right. So of course, scientists have studied RNA and DNA and how the body uses those chemicals to produce antibodies. So how this developed was, instead of the idea to kill a virus and inject it and get antibodies protection from it, or instead of weakening a virus, injecting that and having the body make antibodies, basically they took messenger RNA, which is a set of chemicals that carefully mimics the virus's chemical structure. And then when they inject it in the muscle, it comes into the body's cells. The cells see it. They see that message and they make an antibody. And that message was made specifically for the spike protein for one particular part of the virus, the part of the virus that actually lets the virus invade the cell. So the body looks at that message, it makes an antibody to the spike protein. And so when the virus does invade, the body is already ready with antibody to fight against the virus. Similar to what is done naturally when someone gets infected. And of course, most people who are infected with COVID-19 do get do get cured on their own antibody production, but not everyone. So this is to have all the antibody ready for when infection does occur. So that's why it's different than the other vaccines that have been used in the past. And actually, when you talk about how to make it work, it's actually much easier to develop a virus like this than to have to boil up live virus and kill it, or to try to figure out how to weaken virus. This is pretty easy to make. There's software packages that mimic what the virus looks like. And that's another reason why it was able to be available so quickly. And the other point is that this little message that gets into the cell disappears pretty quickly. The body makes the antibody, and at the same time, the message sort of disappears. By the way, another misinformation is, could the message RNA combine with our DNA? And that you just have to take it from scientists. There are reasons that that is very impossible, not a thought, and it really doesn't happen. We're not going to incorporate, you know, some virus chemicals into our own genetics.
Absolutely. So based on a comment that was in there, should people who have already had COVID-19 still get the vaccine?
Yes, we're still recommending that those who have gotten COVID-19 get the vaccine. And the reason is because we're very sure that the antibodies will persist much longer in the vaccine than they will in natural infection. Although granted, we really don't know how long they will last with natural infection. They may last 3 months, they may last a year. One of the recommendations is don't really bother getting the vaccine until 90 days after your infection, because during those 90 days, you clearly have antibody.
Okay. And then a question from one of our viewers, are there any individuals who should not get the vaccine? I'm sure that varies patient to patient, but is there anything that, you know, is automatically counts you out right now?
Really, there's very few people who should not get the vaccine. And I do want to talk about who needs the vaccine the most. But as far as who should not get the vaccine, these are the issues that have come up. Of course, any pregnant woman wants to be really careful about whether to get the vaccine or not. But the CDC is recommending, scientists are recommending, that pregnant women do get this vaccine. The risks of getting COVID infection are so much better than, are so much worse than any risk of the vaccine itself. But what we like to do is ask the pregnant woman to talk to their own doctor, their obstetrician, who that they really trust, and have this discussion with them. But they'll find out that almost all obstetricians, the American Society of Obstetrics and Gynecology, they do recommend the vaccine. In children less than 16 years of age, there really isn't any data to recommend the vaccine. That's a mistake that's been made. So there are a lot of studies going on right now that will be able to prove that the vaccine will be safe in children. But for right now, we don't recommend the vaccine for children because we just don't have the data. Probably the group that we're most concerned about is a very, very small number of individuals who, when they get the vaccine, they have a major allergic reaction. And there have been a few of these. None of them have resulted in a fatality. Most of them get epinephrine, they get an EpiPen, and they get better. But for those who have had a severe allergic reaction to a vaccine, those would be the ones that we were most concerned about. There doesn't seem to be cross-reactivity with other types of allergies like bee sting or whatever, but anybody who's had a severe allergy, really the CDC has studied this pretty well, and they just recommend that that individual stays in the doctor's office longer after the injection. So maybe 30 minutes or even more, just to make sure everything will be okay.
Sure. And so in Lubbock right now, if you get your vaccine at the City of Lubbock's Health Department, they do have you waiting 15 minutes to make sure there are no immediate reactions. So I'm sure it's probably a pretty similar process.
Yeah, you wait a little bit long. Actually, you wait 30 minutes.
Oh, okay. 15. That's good. Good to know. So viewers, please send us your questions by commenting on this video or using the hashtag WTX Town Hall. Okay, another question. No matter which brand you get right now, to be considered fully vaccinated, people need to get two doses. Can you explain why it's a two-shot process and how that works?
Right. The Pfizer vaccine, you need to get a second dose after 21 days. Moderna, you need to get the vaccine again after 28 days. There may be vaccines coming down the pike, Johnson & Johnson perhaps, where you may only need one dose. The data just shows that you do get a lot of protection after one dose. We don't like to say that because we don't want anybody not coming back for the second dose. But you do get a pretty good antibody reaction after one dose. But the second dose is like a booster. It increases the antibodies even more, and it guarantees a much more long-lasting reaction. And part of that is for the reason that I said this messenger RNA goes into the cell, the body makes the antibody, the messenger RNA goes away pretty fast. So then we inject it in again a second time and get another antibody response.
So in between those shots, what do people need to do? Obviously, you can't let your guard completely down yet because it's only so effective. So what should people do in between that first dose and second dose?
Right. So the recommendations are the same. And yeah, we really don't want to give somebody any false sense that that they're totally protected. So we still have to wear masks after the first dose, and we have to avoid large gatherings, continue to wash our hands, and try to stay 6 feet apart from those who we are working with. And that actually will probably continue to be the recommendation for a while, even after the second dose, until enough people get the vaccine so that COVID-19 actually starts to go away, disappears from the community as a whole.
You touched on this a second ago about side effects. I've read that people tend to have more severe side effects after that second shot. So what can people expect with that?
Right, so there's about probably 30-35% of individuals are going to get muscle pains, probably a little bit worse than they've had before with the vaccine. There may be some feverishness, there may be some headache. Those resolve after a day or two. The side effects of the second dose are the same, just maybe a more severe headache or more severe muscle pains. And sometimes that's severe enough that somebody stays home and doesn't go to work and just waits for these symptoms to resolve, but they will resolve.
Still better than getting COVID and potentially having it for weeks and lingering side effects after.
Right. And another important point, when people say that they're worried about long-term side effects that may occur years and years from now, of course, we would say, well, we don't expect those. That doesn't happen with other vaccines. But more important than that, when you do get infected with COVID-19, we are seeing long-term effects. We are seeing things that don't go away, muscle pains and mental fogging and even a disease-like syndrome in children. So we don't know of any long-term effects from the vaccine, but we do know long-term effects from the infection itself.
Sure. Viewers, don't forget to send us your questions by commenting on this video or using the hashtag WTX Town Hall. So let's say that you are fully vaccinated. You've got that second dose. Now, what do people need to do as we continue to battle this pandemic for at least the next few months? There's at least some end in sight now.
Right. Well, they should encourage everybody else to get the vaccine also. And they can explain to them that, yes, they may have gotten side effects, but it wasn't bad. Because what we really want is this concept of herd immunity, where if enough people in Lubbock get antibody to this virus, the virus won't be able to find anybody to infect, and so eventually it will disappear. And that's what we mean by herd immunity, and that has to be 70 to 80% of everybody with antibody to the virus.
I saw one really interesting study from Carnegie Mellon University that was looking at how willing people in different communities are to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Things look pretty good for Lubbock. According to their survey, about 70% would probably or be more likely to get it when their term comes up. So we could reach that herd immunity eventually. This is obviously going to be a very long process, though.
Right. Herd immunity will depend on convincing most of the people in the community to get the vaccine. Of course, about 10% of the entire population has already been infected, about 40,000 people. But again, we don't know how long their antibodies will actually last.
Right. That was my next question, was about herd immunity. So that was a good natural flow into that. You've kind of touched on this some, but what are we still learning about the vaccine?
Well, the biggest thing as of today is that we're learning that the virus is mutating, which means as it reproduces itself, it makes some mistakes in its reproduction, and so it starts to look a little bit differently. This is not a virus that makes a lot of mistakes, actually, because unlike some other viruses, it has an ability to correct its mistakes, but it's still making mistakes. And most of those mistakes actually make the virus weaker or makes the virus, you know, less effective. But every so often, there'll be a mistake, as there has been in South Africa and United Kingdom, that makes the virus actually more infectious. And a mutation on the spike protein actually let the spike protein get into cells easier, open up cells for a longer period of time. So as far as what we're learning from the vaccine, well, as of now, we've learned that the vaccine still covers these mutants, both from United Kingdom and from South Africa. But we're going to have to learn more and more about how much the virus is actually mutating. And the United States is going to have to do a much better job doing the genomic sequencing of all the viruses. We haven't really done enough of that. So the CDC and biotech companies will follow all the different strains of the virus as it mutates. So that's what we're going to be learning new about the virus. And then we'll be learning, continuing to study the vaccine and make sure that it still covers all these mutants. Now, both Pfizer and Moderna know that if by chance, eventually there's a virus that the vaccine won't cover, then they can actually pretty easily change the message RNA and make a new vaccine or even make a third dose if necessary. We don't want to get anybody too worried about that because, like I say, the vaccine is still working for the mutants. But when you ask about what we're learning from the vaccine and the virus, we're learning how much it mutates and whether or not that will affect the vaccine in the future.
That's good to know. It's interesting that it could be a fairly easy, you know, edit kind of. And that's comforting, I guess, for me at least. How, a question that we've gotten a few times now, how frequently should we expect to get this vaccine? Is it going to be a, like a flu shot and you get it annually or more frequently, or do we know yet?
I think that's one thing we definitely don't know for sure. I think as we're looking at these mutations, we may be starting to think that maybe this will be like the influenza, where you need a different flu shot every year because the virus that circulates changes every year. So it is possible that it would be an annual event, but we don't really know that yet.
And then another question from a viewer, are there any known side effects the vaccine may have on other medications? So let's say that someone's taking a blood pressure medication or anything like that. Should they consider that when they get the vaccine?
No, there's no known interactions between any medication and the vaccine. And that's why when you go get your vaccine at the city, there's not a big time screening about what drugs you're actually on or any of that.
Absolutely. If anyone has any specific questions about, you know, their personal health situation, they should, of course, consult their physician, correct?
Right. We really want the public to talk to their physician about the vaccine if they're not sure, because we know from surveys that most people, there's a lot of things that they may not trust, but most people, over 75%, still trust their physicians.
Wonderful. That's a good statistic. Thank you for sharing that one. Still accepting a few questions, but we are coming up towards the end. It's going to take months to get people vaccinated. What should people keep in mind as they wait for their turn?
So here's the most important thing. Everybody knows that this virus can be very mild for some people. In fact, this very virus is very mild in the great majority of people. But we know what individuals are likely to die from this virus if they do get it. And so those are the ones that we're really so enthusiastic about getting vaccinated. And they're what you'll hear called the 1B group, which in Texas is everyone over 65. This disease is so much worse in the elderly than in young people. But in addition to the elderly, those who have chronic underlying diseases, some diseases like asthma, or if they're cigarette smokers with chronic lung disease or even heart disease, diabetes, people who are really obese are more likely to get very sick from this. So what we want everyone to get the vaccine. Eventually, we'd like all young people to get the vaccine. But right now, the emphasis is on vaccinating those who would die if they did get the infection. And that way, the ICUs will start clearing out. The number of deaths each day will get very low. And so it's we've vaccinated the healthcare workers, and now we're vaccinating this group called the 1B, which in Texas is elderly and those with underlying disease.
And that's going to be a big group. So other people, it's probably going to be a while until we move into that next phase in Texas of vaccination. So still have a long time to be patient for a lot of folks, probably. Good deal. Well, I think that wraps it up for us today. Dr. Burke, thank you so much for joining us. This was all great information that will hopefully make people feel more confident when it's their turn to get the vaccine. Viewers, if you still have questions, please feel free to send them to us and we'll work to get you answers. Reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram on our Texas Tech public media pages, or you can even email me directly at SASELF wa@ttu.edu. We want to answer all the questions you have and make you feel good about getting this vaccine. So please reach out if we can help. So thank you so much for watching and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, Sarah.